From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Friday, October the 14th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Greg Hudson is reporting in the Daily Mail that the New York Natural Heritage Program has identified the site of the proposed Greene County Jail as a potential wildlife habitat. The endangered short-eared owl and threatened northern harrier were identified as relevant species. The proposed site has also been labeled a raptor winter concentration area. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said project organizers have now developed a mitigation plan based on the findings. Groden said, and I quote, "What we'll do is permanently remove any development potential from that plot to the south of the jail. That will ensure these animals still have this migration space and habitat space," end quote. He also said the jail will not interfere with an archaeological discovery on the site. The area is known as a location where Native Americans would make tools and weapons, Groden said. The archaeological survey of the parcel revealed three pre-contract sites that date to a time before North America was populated by Europeans. County officials are accepting public comment up until the October 19th public hearing. The draft environmental impact statement is available online at greengovernment.com. You can read the full story in the Daily Mail. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that the Chatham Town Board has held a special meeting last week to discuss the proposed 2017 budget with budget and labor consultant Michael Richardson and town budget officer Tammy Shaw. Residents filled the meeting room at Town Hall as Richardson reviewed cuts planned for next year. Officials hope the adjustments will help improve town finances. Earlier this year, the board learned it was facing a budget shortfall of approximately $60,000 in the current budget year. Richardson said last week that spending in the 2017 proposed budget will remain flat from 2016, and the tax levy increase will be below the state-mandated cap of 0.68%. The cuts proposed include laying off the full-time town hall maintenance person, reducing the salaries of Zoning Board of Appeals and Planning Board members, cutting the town's contribution to the Chatham-Ghent Senior Group, and using the county assessor instead of having a town assessor. The 2017 budget must be adopted by November the 20th, and the budget goes into effect January 1st. A public hearing on the spending plan will be held November the 3rd. The proposed budget is available online at chathamnewyork.us. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Kyle Hughes is reporting for NYS News that 19th Congressional District candidates John Faso and Zephyr Teachout faced off again on Thursday, August the 13th, this time in a debate sponsored and televised by public TV station WMHT. The two answered questions on a variety of topics, including global warming, Syria, ending marijuana prohibition, and the contest between presidential hopefuls Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Teachout declared that marijuana should be regulated like alcohol and that drug addiction should not be treated as a crime. Faso said he would withhold judgment on the marijuana question until more is known about how legalization is working in Colorado. Teachout again called on Faso to unendorse Trump. Faso declined, saying, and I quote, "The fact is that voters are intelligent enough to decide the race for president," end quote, without his input. Both candidates oppose sending troops into Syria. Faso criticized Teachout for her support of the nuclear deal with Iran worked out by President Obama. Teachout criticized Faso for supporting President George W. Bush's invasion of Iraq. Faso said Teachout's policies would raise the cost of energy in the district. He said, and I quote, "She wants to raise taxes on propane, heating oil, diesel, and gasoline. This would be a disaster for our state and our economy, upstate in particular," end quote. Teachout said Faso mischaracterized her position on a carbon tax. She said, and I quote, "I don't believe that the big fossil fuel companies should be allowed to pollute our air and water for free," end quote. The candidates were united in their praise of U.S. Representative Chris Gibson, the man they are competing to replace. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. The last day to register by mail to vote in the November 8th general election is today. Mailed registration forms must be postmarked no later than October the 14th and received by the Board of Elections no later than October 19th. In Columbia, Greene, and Ulster counties, Board of Elections offices will offer special hours on Saturday, October the 15th for in-person voter registration from 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. For more information, in Columbia County, call 518-828-3115. In Greene County, call 518-719-3550. And in Ulster County, 845-334-5470. Katie Kosajansky is reporting in the Register Star that Hudson Common Council President Claudia DiStefano's decision last month to remove Second Ward Alderman Tiffany Garriga from the Police Committee took center stage at the council's informal meeting on Tuesday, October the 11th. Michael Chimides, chairman of the Hudson City Democrats, confronted DiStefano during the public comment portion of the meeting, demanding that she explain the rationale behind her decision. Garriga, a Democrat, was unceremoniously dismissed from the committee by DiStefano, a Republican, on September the 26th in the fallout that resulted from the resignation of former police commissioner Gary Graziano 10 days earlier. DiStefano told Chimides she learned of, and I quote, inappropriate chatter about the police from people on Facebook, end quote, that was linked to Garriga. DiStefano said, and I quote, I don't approve of political officials in office doing that. I'm very proud of our police department, end quote. Garriga and fellow alderman John Friedman accused DiStefano of, and I quote, using her political position to silence a voice, end quote. DiStefano defended her action, saying as council president, it was well within her discretion to appoint and remove committee members at any time. A resolution presented during the meeting Tuesday would amend the rules to prevent the president from removing committee members midterm. The measure will be voted on by the full council at its formal meeting on Tuesday, October the 18th. To hear the full exchange about Garriga's dismissal, go to wgxc.org/newsroom. Audio by Dan Udell from Udell Community Action YouTube channel. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Chris Carolla is reporting in the Associated Press that Verizon has announced it will close centers in five states, including New York. The impending loss of jobs prompted Governor Andrew M. Cuomo's office to label the move as, and I quote, corporate abuse, end quote. The company said on Thursday, October the 13th, a consolidation of its call centers will impact about 3,200 workers near Rochester in New York City, as well as Maine, Nebraska, Connecticut, and California. Verizon employs 162,000 people nationwide. A Verizon Communications Incorporated spokesman said workers were notified on Wednesday. All are being offered jobs at other company sites or severance packages if they decide to relocate, she said. Rich Azzopardi, a Cuomo spokesman, called Verizon's move, and I quote, an egregious example of corporate abuse. Verizon's negligence is astounding, and as a result, hardworking New Yorkers will lose their jobs, end quote. Earlier this week, the company announced job cuts in its national retail stores as it deals with increasing competition in the wireless industry. You can read that full Associated Press story in the Daily Freeman. Finally, Daniel Zuckerman is reporting in the Daily Mail that the State Department of Environmental Conservation will hold a meeting in late October to provide information and gather public comment on the development of unit management plans for the Colgate Lake Wild Forest and Windham Blackhead Range Wilderness Units. The units are located within the towns of Jewett, Windham, Catskill, Cairo, and Hunter. The final project management plans will include proposals for future land use, an examination of possible multiple use, and an analysis of the natural features of the land. The meeting will be held at 6 p.m. on October 27th at the Mountaintop Library in Turnersville. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a sunny day for today with a temperature high near 56 degrees. For Friday night, widespread frost after 2 a.m. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a freeze warning from 2 a.m. to 9 a.m. Saturday. Otherwise, it will be clear with a low around 33. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Saturday, widespread frost before 9 a.m., otherwise sunny with a high near 62 degrees. Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 39. And on Sunday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 53. Sunrise today was at 7:08 a.m., and the sun will set at 6:13 p.m., providing us with 11 hours and 5 minutes of daylight, about 2 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Friday, the 14th day of October, 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.